Our scripture this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, speaking of pathways and roadways. This is God's holy and inerrant word. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Please pray with me. Father, I pray that you would take this text and sear it upon our hearts, that we would not be like the Judeans and disobey your word, but rather we would seek your way. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Jeremiah, as we all know, often called the weeping prophet because of his message of doom and gloom, and he cries over the impending judgment that's soon to come upon God's people, and in particular upon the city of Jerusalem, the city of David. No chapter in Jeremiah reflects this coming disaster upon Jerusalem more than chapter 6 that we're considering this morning. In chapter 6, at the beginning, verses 1 through 8, Jeremiah prophesies he foresees a hostile army coming from the north, that is the Babylonians, and he foresees that they're laying siege to the city of Jerusalem, and they are about to storm the very gates of Jerusalem. And the question is, with this national calamity at hand, how will the people respond? How will they respond to the message of the prophet of the Lord? Well, the second part of chapter 6, verses 9 through 15 is very clear. They do not listen. They do not repent. They have gone astray. They have lost their way. These are days of deep spiritual darkness. And note in particular verse 13 of the chapter, where Jeremiah says, for from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain, and from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. The people are confirmed in their shameless behavior by false prophets and wicked priests. The spiritual leaders of Jerusalem are leading the people astray. These are dark days in the life of God's people. And the reality of this is found in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 15. Listen to what God says through Jeremiah. He says, but my people have forgotten me. They make offerings to false gods. They made them stumble in their ways in the ancient roads and to walk into side roads, not the highway. God's people have wandered off into unbeaten paths. They stumble blindly on the side roads, and they have lost their way. As I think of God's people at this time, how low and deep they have sunk into their sin. I mean, theirs is idolatry and injustice and no fear of God. Jeremiah says, your ways and your deeds have brought this upon you. This is your doom, and it's bitter. It has reached your very heart. And I say, as I read Jeremiah, I say, Lord, bring judgment on these people. Bring judgment on them. They deserve it. So punish them and destroy them. My thinking often runs along those lines. But then I think of myself, and I think of the day we live in. And all I can say is I'm sure thankful God is not quick to punish, and that his long-suffering character is one of his great attributes, that he has been patient with us. And indeed, he's patient with his people. We see here in verse 16 of chapter 6 that God gives one final call. One final call before judgment and captivity come upon Jerusalem. It's a long-suffering God. calling them back to himself. Let's look at this final call for revival in verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And here we see the Lord, through the prophet Jeremiah, employs a metaphor in regard to his people's situation. They're pictured as a group of travelers, a group of pilgrims who see many different roads. They see many different paths in front of them. They're doubtful as to which one is the right road. They've been traveling on so many back roads, they just don't know which road to take. They've been traveling blindly. Should they continue to stumble along these dark paths that they've been on? Well, God tells his people, stand by the roads and look. Stand by the roads and look. What path will you take your life? God is telling them to examine the various options before them. Have a time of self-examination. Here I am, a pilgrim. On what road am I walking? What path should I take? And indeed, there are several roads one can take in this life. There are several paths. One can take the easy path, which promises a life of ease and comfort. One can take a new path, and a path of technology, and be on the cutting edge of things. One can take the path of self-centeredness, take the path of self-absorption. Or one can take the broad path. But beware. As Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Well, how are God's people to know what is the right path? Well, God tells his people what they should be looking for. Look what he says. Stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths. Ask for the ancient paths. The Hebrew word for ancient there, for my Hebrew students, is olam. It refers to paths that have existed as far back as one can remember. They're paths that have existed as far back as one can trace. And God says something about these ancient paths. He says, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is. These ancient paths are the good way. These are the paths that are faithful and true and sure and trustworthy and reliable. These are the paths for the sure-footed. So what exactly are these paths? The Old Testament commentators Kyle and Dalich put it this way. You can tell how old they are, these Old Testament commentators. These are paths that have been trod in the hoary times of old. Indeed. These are the roads traveled by Israel's godly ancestors, the ways taken by the saints from the beginning. This is the good path. The only path. This is God's way. This is God's path. This is the road that Noah traveled, a path of faith. This is the road that Abraham traveled, a path of faith. This is the way Moses walked, a path of faith. The text calls the ancient paths literally the way of the good. Which is interesting because the word good, as it is used in this verse, is not only talking about the quality of the path, that it's a good path, but it's referring to the terminus or the end of the path. It's telescopic. It's a path to the good. It's not just a good path, it's a path to the good, path that leads to the good. It's a path of deliverance and salvation. It's the path of everlasting life. It's the path of covenant blessing from the Lord. It's the path of joy and well-being. But it's not enough for the people of Jerusalem to know the right and good and ancient path. Look what the text says. Ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. Having ascertained what is the way that leads to the good requires the people to move along the road. It is not mere knowledge. It's not mere lip service. No, the people must walk the talk. They must walk the faith. Now, what's at the end of the path? By taking the right path, and that way they will find rest for their souls. By traveling the ancient paths, the people of Jerusalem will find rest and repose and shalom. I mean, what a glorious promise, what a glorious end to the road of life. Peace and rest for your souls. You know, Jesus quotes this passage in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Jesus says this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." There it is. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the path. Jesus is the truth and the life. And by following in his steps, on his way, people will find true satisfaction and will find true rest. That is the end. That's the reward. Rest for your souls. Now, the word that is used here for rest occurs elsewhere in the Old Testament. For example, in Isaiah chapter 28, 12, describing the promised land as the place of rest for the people of God. Do you understand that the ancient path is the end, is the celestial city, the eternal New Jerusalem, the inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you? What a promise. Rest for your souls. This life, the older I get, the truer this is. This life can be wearisome. And the weight of sin, brokenness of life. Is this not what we yearn for? Rest for your souls. But then we see the sad part at the end of the verse. The sad part. "But they said, we will not walk in it." How do they respond? "We will not walk in it." A flat out, direct disobedience to walk in the Lord's way. Verse 17 says, "We will not pay attention." Not only will we not walk in it, we're not even going to pay attention to this. They found other ways that are more attractive. They reject the ancient paths. They reject the good way. They reject the way of the Lord. Do you understand? Proverbs 16, 25, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." There's a path which seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. "There are many paths," Jesus says, "that lead to destruction, but there's only one way that leads to life. There's only one way that leads to rest for your souls." Now, surely, we live in a day and age, much like Jeremiah's day, in which people in the church and outside the church are traveling down many roads that lead to destruction. We live in a society There's broken and disarray, confusion, impending calamity. With that, let me ask you this question. What road are you on? What path are you walking? Perhaps right now you are at a crossroads. Crossroads in your life, and you're asking, which way should I go? God tells us here what to do. Stand and look and ask. And ask for the right way. Ask for the good way. Ask for the ancient, well-trodden path. Seek the path that the saints have walked from the beginning. Seek the path of the men of faith listed in Hebrews 11. Seek the path of Calvin and Whitfield and Baxter and Edwards and Spurgeon. John Newton, looking at this passage, said, "For my own part, I like that path which is well beaten by the footsteps of the flock. And let not the sad ending of the people of Jerusalem be your end. They declare we will not walk in it." What a sad and despairing response. May that not be your response. And their end was gloom and judgment and destruction. May you walk the path that ends in life and rest for your souls. Amen and amen. Please pray with me. Most Heavenly Father, pray that indeed we often go astray. I pray, O Lord, that you would call us back to the path, that we would stand and look, and we would ask. We would ask for the good way. We would ask for the way of Christ, who promised that he would give us rest for our souls. And it's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.